Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And this is the Doug and Dave Intel Report, although once a week we want to go what people might call sci-fi. And what's really missing from the airwaves today is legitimate inquiry into mysteries of the mind, psychological powers, paranormal powers in terms like ESP, clairvoyance, and what the Pentagon's doing with UFOs. They're briefing Congress as we speak, and we're going to get into all of that here once a week. We're going to explore those mysteries. And I'll tell you, we're not trying to be like Art Bell, but Art Bell is what is missing today, legitimate inquiry into interesting topics. Now, we're still committed to geopolitics, saving America, but also, too, there's a hidden history that we need to explore. And Doug and I have been talking about this for a while, and I've actually wanted to do a whole show like this late night, because honestly, no offense intended, but we need to replace Coast to Coast with Art Bell. And we can't be Art Bell, but I think we can bring you some good content that you don't get covered because of the censors from Clear Channel and from the CIA and all those people that influence Coast to Coast now, which is why Art Bell quit. Not once, but twice. So, on this version of the Doug and Dave Intel Report, we're going to take a look at the age-old debate. Is the Pentagon really talking about aliens? Or are they talking about fallen angels? And we're going to explore that, and we're going to look at the deep state involvement. We're going to look at a guy named Philip Corso, Leipzig, Germany, teleportation experiments. We're going to look at the Collider. We're going to bring up the Nazi Bell. Oh, we got a whole show for you here, folks. It's absolutely phenomenal what we're going to cover today. But before we go and bring on Doug, we need to do our usual stuff, and that's this: tell you how good you can be if you use our products. Let me explain to you specifically about the food. Ladies and gentlemen, the food supply is being shut down right in front of us. What is it? What are we up to now? 108 food processing plants have been destroyed since Biden's taken office. Are you a coincidence theorist? Well, then you just think this is all an accident. But that's happening. And then we've got the rise of diesel again, which is going to prevent you from getting gas, which is going to prevent a lot of food from getting to market. You've got fertilizer being messed with by the government with these ridiculous regulations and restrictions that aren't based the least on science tied to climate change. I'm waiting. Where's the science, guys? Just because you say it so doesn't mean you can speak the fact into existence. So it all adds up to one thing: get your storable food or beg from your neighbor and beg he doesn't shoot you when he answers the door and you look threatening. We're going to have food riots, folks. They're going to start in Europe. You're going to see very quickly. But because our natural gas is going to get shipped to Europe this winter, that problem is going to be here too. So I would recommend going to foodwithdave.com. foodwithdave.com. They still have the same price, they still have the same specials, and they still have the same quality. 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day. It's a no-lose situation if you act now. foodwithdave.com. Also, we are in league now with Mike Lindell, and Mike Lindell is a champion of the people. Okay, that aside, that's not why we're here. We're here because I love his products. My wife bought all of them before they approached us about advertising, and I said, sure, we'll send you samples. We already got them. We already got them. My wife loves them. I love them. So you can get 2-for-1, 50% off. This is just for our audience. This is something created just for you because they like what we did with the investigation of the Maricopa County election fraud. Oh, I know, it's been debunked. It's baseless. That's what the media says. Yeah, but I found five ways they stole the election in Maricopa County, where Trump actually won by 1 million votes. Oh, yeah. So we're in business, and we're in business to make you comfortable. The slippers, the bed sheets, the comforter, everything. Everything greatly discounted. Go to mystore.com, and then you just put in the word Hodges, and you'll be right there at the page. Absolutely fantastic. And then finally, last but not least, our television show. We've accumulated a panel of experts, and you're going to be hearing from one of them here in just a second, Doug Thornton, from formerly of DHS, former Marine Corps combat veteran and contractor. And we have, Celeste from FEMA, And we have other people from the alphabet soup agencies that can't identify what they did, who they're with, as part of their severance agreement with the government. But when you hear them, you go, oh my gosh. And what we're trying to do is help you get prepared by bringing in experts, analyzing what's going on. Some of the people we bring on dealt with regime change. And that's what we're going through right now, cultural regime destructive change. And so we're trying to get you ready. And it's all for the lowest price out there. And we're getting 4.5, 5-star ratings on the major platforms. So go to thecommonsenseshow.tv and sign up today. Well, Doug, my friend, we have a heck of a topic to go through today, because normally we'd be talking about the pipeline, we'd be talking about this or that. We'd be talking about how Ron DeSantis caused climate change monsters to attack Florida with the hurricane, which is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. But today we're going to kind of go off the beaten path, and we're going to talk about things that go bump in the night, things that we see that we don't understand, and more importantly, what the Pentagon has told Congress. And what's that? These things are a national security risk, and we have no way to deal with it. Doug, would you say that's a fair assessment of what the Pentagon is indicating?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty fair. But, you know, once again, the problem is that it's not very enlightening. The problem with what the Pentagon says is that the threat is whatever they make it. And since we're not privy to any of the unforeseen classified footage besides, what, an 8-second tic-tac that's floating around in the sky, which is, you know, 10-year-old footage, we don't really know. And I think it's good to explore the unknowns occasionally. Get off of politics. You know, everybody knows Joe Biden's an idiot. Everybody knows Kamala Harris is an idiot. And everybody knows World War III is coming. All right. I'm glad you're all up to date on geopolitics. But the other part is, what is going to cause the great deception? What's going to cause the great downfall of mankind when we're all about to nuke each other into oblivion? And me and Dave honestly think that the UFO threat, the fake alien invasion threat, should be up there on like the top five of things to look for. Now, you know, before we came on, Dave, you and I were talking about the Antichrist. We were talking about angels and fallen angels, and is it relative or not if, like some of our colleagues, if we focus on, you know, the Nordics or the tall whites or the Insectolins or the Greys. You have great minds like Timothy Alvarino who can really dive into that subject. But, you know, I'm not a subject matter expert in this, and you know, neither are you. So what is it that we kind of said? It doesn't matter what shape they take. They, the aliens, are not humans. Jesus did not give his life freely on the cross for them. He gave it for us. So it doesn't matter. In our mindset as Christians, it doesn't matter what they call themselves, what galaxy they claim to have come from. They're not us. They don't get salvation. Period. Done with.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it begs the question on Genesis 6 in the Bible of whether or not these are fallen angels from the Luciferian army that lost the war in the cosmos and were cast down to earth. Are they fallen angels that we're dealing with here, or are they really aliens? And my answer is, I tend to think they're fallen angels in disguise as aliens as part of the Great Deception. That's my take on this. And their DNA survived the Great Flood, and I think some of their friends inhabit some of the institutions we all know about. But you got to fight the enemy in front of you. So whether or not it's truly an alien or it's just a fallen angel pretending to be, whatever it is, it's still demonic. It's still, I agree with you, Jesus did not give his life to save these people or these entities. He gave his life for humanity so we could have eternal life, blessed eternal life. So to me, it's an irrelevant argument. Whatever we're dealing with here, though, has powers beyond what human beings have, technology beyond what human beings have, and this is what we're unraveling and what's the threat. And we do know that in Revelations, they talk about there'll be an end time. There'll be a great deception. There'll be a great tribulation upon the earth. And we're going to explore things like, let me bring up the first topic here, Doug. It's called the deep state. And so let me just set the stage by that movie. What was it, 1988? And if you wore sunglasses, you could see them. And if you didn't wear, what was it called? They Live?
Yeah.
If you remember that. And I think that what we're looking at here is not a sunglass phenomenon, but we're looking at the fact that I think that these fallen angels survived the Great Flood, many of them. Their DNA, we know they impregnated earthly women. That's in the Bible. And I think this is a lot of what we're dealing with, and this is their plan to, I think, get rid of humanity as, you know, rebellion against God. In fact, the Bible says if Jesus didn't come back, there would be no one left alive. So, to me, I think like in that movie, They Live, there's got to be deep state complicity and deep state infiltration from the other side. What do you think?
Well, for one thing, we can't just skip over the movie. That was one of the most awesome, craziest movies that has ever been made sci-fi wise. And I'll tell you what, man, they don't make the movies like they used to. You know, could you imagine if they recreated They Live? Half of everything would be reprobate. I don't want to say stuff to get us taken off the air, but half of everything would be reprobate and like communistic and equal rights for everybody, and you know, just
99 genders on the wall. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Take one down, pass them around. Oh, okay. I don't want to go there. Family show. But anyway, I agree with you. In fact, you remember in the movie They Live, they had a cabal of humans that met with them to plan how to take over the planet. And this is what we're talking about with deep state complicity. Has Satan's forces, in my book, have they aligned with the evil ones on this planet that have been co-opted for evil means, and they're plotting against the rest of humanity? And I would have to say, the way the planet's being run, and the fact that they're in the midst of causing global famine, and that's everywhere, folks. That's not just Dave and Doug saying this. That's everywhere. People, experts across the world are saying this. And they're getting us close to a crazy World War III with possible nuclear annihilation. This is as satanic as it gets. So deep state, yeah, definitely. And who do I think the main actor of the deep state is for enforcement? I say it's China. Doug, what do you say?
I say it's the WEF.
Institutionally, I agree with you. WEF, the World Health Organization, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on 300.
They're all the same thing.
Yeah.
They're really all the same thing.
Exactly.
It is the New World Order. And with every New World Order, there has to be a figurehead, and there has to be a nation state to claim it. So would China be it? I think China is probably the best runner-up for it. I would tell you America would be it. Everybody says China is the big bad guy. You know, I think in our own patriotism, we forget that America is not like the greatest, most like stern Christian state that's out there.
Not anymore.
It may be our own hubris not to think that we could actually be the baddies. And once again, that's not individual people. We're talking about the government, all right? Now, deep state. In the movie They Live, do you remember whenever they're underground and the aliens are actually like, they get on some sort of star portal with their briefcases and they jump like to another star or to like another planet or a moon? You know, there are people who say that we have those capabilities. I don't know if that's real or not.
I'm one of those people that thinks it's very possible. Let me digress from what you're saying, because you opened up Pandora's box.
I know what I opened up Pandora's box on that one.
Let me talk real quickly about Leipzig, Germany, 2008, and I came across research, and this is just in my function and role as a professor, and I was just doing research on various things, and I accidentally came across this. I wasn't looking for UFOs or teleportation or anything else. I just came across this. and they were talking about teleportation experiments in Life's of Germany, and I started laughing. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Is this the Sci-Fi Channel gone academic? And so I started reading it, and I thought, my gosh, they've got all the scientific protocols in place. They're following the scientific method. And what they did in this experiment, and they've duplicated it. So that's the hallmark of science, too, doing the same research in the same format and then duplicating it again and again and again until you reach a level of significance where you say, okay, we have a relationship. And so what they did was they teleported, first it was very small atomic structure across a large laboratory. And the element that was teleported bilocated. And what I mean by bilocated is once it was shipped across or sent across the laboratory, its origination point, it was still visible, and its final destination point, it was still visible. And then the bilocation ended and the origination point disappeared. Well, then they graduated to a box and other inanimate objects. The debate is, did this go secret with the CIA and German intelligence, and did they begin to teleport animals and possibly even human beings? And there is some speculation out there from some pretty credible sources that yes, they did, but I have to say this. The Leipzig experiment, as I've described it, is well documented. The animal-human involvement, that's more sketchy. But I will say this. Doug, you brought it up in the movie, the teleportation that the alien beings in the movie They Live were doing. We already have a crude facsimile of that technology.
Well, and that's why I had to bring it up. Because, you know, do I believe, in looking through my notes here, do I believe that we have the ability to do that? Yes, we've actually demonstrated it with the Large Hadron Collider and Small Hadron Colliders, which, by the way, if you didn't know this, probably 70 miles from where I live right now is where the original LHC was going to be placed. The entire tunnel dug, and nobody knows anything else about it. I will be going and checking it out. However, I think we have the ability to transfer energy and material through time and space, but I don't think we perfected it. I don't think that we have an open wormhole channel like some of our colleagues believe that'll go straight to Mars or Jupiter or Saturn. And Dave, I say this based off of my own speculation. And once again, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to sound a little conceited when I say this, but I think there is a strong amount of our colleagues who don't know that, don't know it for certain, but speak on it with such relevance that no one dares to disagree with them. And if they do, they're castigated for it. But science does not exactly hold up to that fact. And two, if we had the ability, let's say, to travel to Mars through a wormhole, this world would look different. Because ask any empire in history, when they have a technological supremacy over another nation state, they use it. There is no, I mean, like, okay, so China is the first one who developed gunpowder and guns. Could you imagine if China said, oh man, look, we can create gunpowder and guns and we can shoot projectiles further and more lethality than, you know, arrows and bolts and sling missiles. So, you know what? In fact, we're not going to use it because it's too dangerous. No. No.
Well, that they wouldn't refuse. Well, let's put it this way. The only way they'd refuse is if they were Democrats.
Well,
trying to undo the Chinese Second Amendment.
When the Romans were taking bodies that were covered in smallpox and waiting for them to be bloated right to the point that they're about to explode, and then they hurl them over the ramparts of other kingdoms and let these bodies explode upon everything within markets and homes and causing biological warfare the old school way. Had they known the effectiveness of this siege warfare, do you think they would have ever said, you know what, this is not humane, we're not going to do it? No. No society in our existence has ever had a military leg up and then refused it. when we created the atom bomb, we were the first ones. Guess what we did almost immediately? We dropped not one, but two of them. We were ready to drop a third one. We as a species do not hold back military might over another. So why would we not then hold back the ability to travel, you know, all the way to Mars? Look at the great space race between the Soviet Union and the Americans. You know, it was everything just to get to the moon. And then you have the whole conspiracy theories of, did we get to the moon? Did we ever even visit the moon? Was the first footage from the moon actually fake so that we could just say that we went there before the Russians and then we landed? I've heard it all.
No, I don't buy that. I want to address something you brought up, though, okay? You talked about, then why don't we go to Mars? Give me a moment to digress to 1997. And this is before I was ever in the media, and I couldn't talk about my father's experiences reverse engineering theoretical physics of captured German scientists. And I promised him, you know, after he was gone, that until my mom was gone, I would never talk about it publicly at all. But I was listening to Art Bell in 1992 for the very first time, and my good friend, a guy who had become my very good friend, Vance Davis, formerly of NATO and the NSA, was on Art Bell's show, first time I ever heard the show, and he's talking about the secret space program, and he hit home run after home run after home run. And I said, well, I can certainly talk to him privately, and he'll understand why I can't go public. But he sent a go-between, Bill Pollack, and Bill had a big, extensive intelligence background to check me out, because I had sent him a letter, because this was before the internet and all that, so I had to go the old-fashioned way to get a hold of him. And Bill and I talked for about 3 hours the first time he called me. And so I got in with this group, and they were having meetings in La Placidas, Mexico, New Mexico. And there were people there, like former astronauts, and I got to be careful what I say because I signed a non-disclosure agreement. But there were astronauts there, active astronauts. Some were in Apollo, and I'm not going to say any more than that, but use your imagination. We went to the moon. First of all, the idea that we didn't go is silly. And that's like a flat earth theory. Not trying to offend anybody, but that's how I look at that. But the other thing that I saw a series of videos that were NASA footage videos from the space shuttle. And let's put it this way. Some of the people that were there had the ability to access this information. And I watched war games in space. And they were war games because nothing really got blown up, but you saw dots of lights being flashed, coming emanating from a craft, and they were flying in formation. There appeared to be a pulse beam weapon launched out of South America. And I saw a series of stuff like this. And these were strictly war games. Some of this is on YouTube, but not to the full extent as I just described it. SDS-48, SDS-72, SDS-96, if you want to look them up. I don't know if U2's pulled them, but they were up there a number of years ago. So, Doug, to bring this to a final conclusion, I'll tell you what my father said to me. He said that NASA was a joke, that the physics that they reverse-engineered was almost immediately repeatable. They could duplicate what they had in the lab into real practice because it was simple, straightforward, and schematic and systematic. And he said it was doable, and if we'd put as much energy into that as we did the Manhattan Project, he said within 5 years we could have done just incredible things. And he said the UFOs you see in the sci-fi movies, he goes, we had that ability. Learn how to displace gravity, and you displace time and space, and you temporarily enter the fifth dimension in part to do that. And we talked about the physics about this, and you know that my hobby is quantum physics, and it's because of these discussions I had with my father. And he said, we had all this stuff, and none of it showed up in NASA. None of it. And so he said, we have a secret space program. Well, an admiral he worked for in a really high-level, top-secret project, he had a son. This admiral had a son my age, and we got to be best friends. Our families were always hanging out together. I still talk to him today. And I can say this without going into revelation detail and breaking confidences, the secret space program is exactly what Trump made public so they could get more congressional funding. They weren't able to get all the funds that they felt they needed, and they felt that the only way to do that was to go public, and so they had to become the Space Force. But no one ever questioned the media. How did the Space Force show up one day and it's fully operational? That's because it had been the secret space program for decades. So what I would say to you, Doug, is that we do have this technology. I don't know how far we've gone. I don't know if we're on Mars, but I can't take out of my mind what I saw and what I heard from these experts that I was fortunate enough to be invited to these meetings to be exposed to. And then some of the stuff is starting to come out today. So that would be my long-winded answer to your point about how far has the technology gone. I think it's gone pretty darn far. The question is, did it come from Roswell? Did it come from Philip Corso? Where did we get this technology? Because we made quantum leaps after the Roswell incident.
Well, and once again, history is still one of the best teachers for the future. After every wartime event, technology increases trifold, quadruple. And so look at this most recent war that's happening between Russia and Ukraine. Almost immediately, the world is ready to welcome a completely digital way of life. And that's just the beginning, right? To go back to the wormhole technology, Stargate SG-1, all right, everybody's favorite freaking thing to always reference.
Are you talking about the TV show?
Yeah, the TV show. And you know that my pastime is being a historian, and I go into pretty deep memory recall with – and God, I don't want to be a complete nerd on the channel, but I'm the kind of guy who will actually just read government white papers for 5 or 6 days straight and not even listen to music or watch anything. But I get very into the actual documentation of all this because I find it fascinating. There are plenty of references that allude to the ability to transfer energy and material from one time to another, or from one material space to another material space. But once again, in my mindset, and you could probably speak on this with psychology, it does not make sense that we have a wormhole technology that you could just walk through like they do in the movies, and then bam, you're in this secret underground super cool layer of Mars where the reptilians are and blah, 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 blah.
I don't even go there, and I don't discount it because I don't know. But I don't have to go there to make that argument. I want to take you back. Here's one thing that's unmistakable. Our society transformed after Roswell. Now, perhaps it's a spurious relationship and there is no relationship, but
no,
Philip Corso comes into play.
I do too.
Philip Corso,
look,
go ahead.
That's when the floppy disk started to come out.
Yeah, exactly.
And people don't understand, the floppy disk was like, God, it sounds horrible when I say that, but the floppy disk was like, that was a big deal. Everything before that was paper. We could transfer things over wire, but there was no formidable containment space or material for information. And the floppy disk, it just came out of nowhere. And then the computers. And then, but before that, there was radar. There was sonar.
Tesla technology.
Nikola
Tesla.
They already had the ability to see in thermal back in World War II. The Nazis were the one who created that. I'm of the opinion, Dave, that much of what we got because of a continuation of research and development from the Nazi scientists that we got on Project Paperclip. With all the different paperclip contracts that were handed out to all these different Nazi scientists, I think whatever they were working on, whomever they were talking to, gave them that technology, and then they brought that technology here, and they brought the ability to contact whoever they were contacting over here, and they continued to do it, i.e. mind control, ESP, Project Grill Flame, Project Avocado, Project Artichoke. Avocado, that's what I ate the other day. Project Artichoke with mind control. Project Bluebird was the original mind control, then MK Ultra. And I'm going somewhere with this, okay? It's not just that we had an advancement in technology post-World War II. We had a complete advancement in how we attack one another. In World War II, they were still fighting on tanks, but there were cavalry charges on horseback. You know, we had just now started to use the submarines. Transcontinental flights and bombers and aircraft carriers, and you know, we had the atom bombs. But you know, it goes further than that, past 50s and 60s. Because whatever hit Roswell, and I for one believe, whatever landed in the Roswell desert on that cattle ranch was not a freaking Russian spaceship filled full of mutagenic children. I don't believe.
I've never heard that one.
Oh no, that's a sad one.
No, that's so ridiculous. Doug, let me interrupt you here, because Roswell comes down to aliens. Or was it a Russian, was it a weather balloon? Let me explain. I'll tell you what my dad thought, and I don't know that he was correct on this. I asked him about Roswell, and he said, total disinformation, impossible to weave through the mess to get an answer. But he said what he was told early on was that we had these high atmospheric balloons.
Yes.
And that we wanted to detect whether or not the Soviets were doing any upper atmospheric nuclear testing, and that's the way we did. This is before satellites. Yep. And so lightning presumably struck this. They also had dummies that went up there, and they were doing research on dummies, so if we ever wanted to space travel, this was the beginning of that science. And so when this has crashed to Earth on Mac Brazel's property in Roswell, outside Roswell, they found these little beings, but they were no more than test crash dummies. That's one view. The other view is that it truly was a crash of alien craft. You could call them a fallen angel, demons, whatever you want to call them. And this is what the capture of this craft, the reverse engineering of the technology, is where Philip Corso comes into play, where he was put in charge of this. And this is where we got night vision and all these magnificent technological advances started after that. I tend to think the latter is true. What do you think?
Okay. So, being the fact that a lot of, like, my persona is based off of Project Blue Book and the way that, like, I guess you could say I grew up, because I grew up knowing very much about this and researching it and, you know, being a G-man for a period of years, this is in my wheelhouse now. When you talk about conspiracy theories and lies, I have been involved in those in the government. There have been things that have happened here in the continental United States that I have been personally a part of not letting it be exposed to the public and denying entry from, the media. So don't think that those things don't happen. I was a part of that. Probably multiple different times I didn't know half of them. However, I will say this. Was it a weather balloon? No. I don't believe it was a weather balloon. I believe the weather balloon was put there. I'll say that again. I believe the crash was real, and the weather balloon was put there. Project Mogul is what you were talking about. The United States Air Force, they published this report of an identifying crashed object as a nuclear test surveillance balloon. All right, and that's, July 8th, 1947, okay? Once again, I'm very, very aware of this. However, between Lieutenant Colonel Jesse Marcel and, Stanton Friedman, who Stanton Friedman
is.
Yeah,
I interviewed Stanton before he died.
Yeah. I believe their testimonies. Jesse Marcel, his lieutenant, And some of the other people who were involved in this, whenever they first posted, that the Roswell Air Force Base captured flying saucers on a ranch in Roswell, and it went to the newspaper in Dallas, right? I don't think they misspoke. I think they said what it was, that it was a captured flying saucer. There are multiple different people, to include law enforcement, who showed up, and you can't find the paperwork. But the law enforcement officers give the testimony that what they saw were small, childlike organisms. I don't want to say people, because honestly, we don't know what they were, but that they were small, they were childlike, that they were actually flesh and blood, and they were dead. And that they had four of them piled up on the side of the road, and I believe they said one was still alive. Now, about five or six different people out of over 20 people that showed up for this that have been able... I mean, when you talk about key witness statements, okay, and you have people that were retired military, retired law enforcement, you know, they have impeccable credibility, they're not changing their story, that gives me a baseline to go off of. Now, it doesn't mean they're not lying, but it's a baseline to go off of that I believe committed to the truth for as long as they have. And then people who said the complete opposite, but on the deathbed confessions, which was Jesse Marcel's lieutenant, God, his name escapes me, but it was his, I think his daughter and his granddaughter that actually came out about it, where they said, no, it was a flying saucer. It was an egg-shaped device, actually, not exactly a flying saucer. It was more of the shape of an egg, and that there were retrieved bodies. Now, let's go to the other part of this story that you talked about. The Air Force, all right, the United States Army Air Corps back then, they were still doing high atmosphere tests with dummies. Mm-hmm. Now, these dummies were 200 pounds, 6 foot tall, made of wood. They had the likeness of a person, so they actually looked like a person. They're wearing a flight suit, something that a pilot would be wearing, and then they're just ever so casually dumped out of the back of an aircraft. And as they plummet to the ground, their bodies are picked up, they're recorded to see how mangled up they are, and also they wore different devices, different clothing, to see if that clothing and the devices that they wore for safety, for personal protection, how it did, if it was rugged enough to help survive that type of a crash. For someone to tell me within the Air Force, okay, and I'll tell you this as an investigator. If I'm talking to people from the Air Force and they told me that while they're flying at 200 miles an hour, they happened to throw out four dummies, and all four dummies landed elbow to elbow, ankle to ankle, in a linear line within feet from each other, not mangled, gently put on their back, and they looked at me in the eye and said, oh yes sir, that's how we threw them, and that's how they landed, then I would call them a damn liar and interfering with the law enforcement investigation, because that's a lie. That's not how physics works. So I said all that to say this: Project Mogul was a unique time frame, that at the same time the Roswell crash happened, this also was happening. I think the atmospheric testing of nuclear devices attracts and brings in whatever these entities are. I don't know what they are. Nobody knows what they are. We just say that it's not from God, so we're going to go with the demonic route, right? So I think whatever our testing is brought them in. Now, if one of them crashed, then that means it's a nuts and bolts craft. It's not an angel floating around on wings with lightning bolts in his hand. Something actually that has to be flown by a person or a thing crashed. So here's the other step to this. aliens. Are we talking about aliens or are we talking about angels?
Well, that's what we started off the discussion with. Well, and I'm going to say this. To me, it does matter, but it also at the same time doesn't matter because you got to fight the enemy that's in front of you.
Well, it does. Genesis 6, all right? The sons of God, they came to earth. They saw the daughters of man. They saw them to be beautiful. They took them for wives. I don't think they actually proposed. I believe they took. And then they begot all different types of monsters and hybrids. Okay. If God wiped all that out, then why are we still talking about hybrids? Okay? Unless angels took from the dominion of earth and went somewhere else and replicated what they were doing somewhere else, created technology for them there, and then that is what is visiting us now in the form of the next great deception. The next invasion upon our dominion as man is coming from the fallen angels, their offspring, the aliens, and their technology is what's coming here. All right, maybe that's what we're seeing.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Huh. Okay, anyway. I've had worse happen. I've had the NFL theme piped in during an interview, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But anyway, I hear what you're saying on this. I want to bring this into something that people can take with them, though. And I think that at the end of the day here, we're looking at stuff we just don't understand. You know, Doug, we can agree to disagree, too, on this. And I say this to everyone who's listening, too. To me, I think this is part of the great deception. I think that what we see and people talk about abductions and so forth, I think these are satanic entities. It fits right in with the fallen angels narrative of Genesis 6. And I think this is, like I said, the great deception. They're pretending to be something they're not. And what will that allow? If you bring an alien attack to the world, whether it's a demonic deception or a real event, the result will likely be the same, and that'll be nations coming together to fight against a common enemy, hence the creation of one world government. And one world government that one day in the tribulation will be overtaken by the Antichrist. Go ahead, take a shot at that, Doug.
I think there's a very good possibility that whatever is coming...
I didn't understand that.
Google is now speaking through my phone with no prompting. Anyway, go ahead. They like what we're saying, I guess. Or maybe these are our friends out there deciding they want to join in on the conversation.
Shut up, Siri.
Yeah, but to activate this on my phone, and that's where it's coming from, I'd have to say, hey, you know who, because I don't want to say it because I don't want the phone to hear me. And then they come on and say, how can I help you? We're not getting that. We're just getting voices coming through the phone. It's bizarre. Okay. It never fails.
So, we're always interrupted. Almost every single show. To get back to this, the Antichrist. Okay, this is my mindset on it. And I'm actually completely okay either way this happens. Because it doesn't matter where the Antichrist comes from. I think there's another problem with our Christian mindset, is that everybody wants to be proven right so that they can sell the most books and themes for the year. That's my mindset.
I'm not writing a book, are you?
No.
All right, so let's continue and tell the truth.
Yeah, that's why I don't care.
Exactly.
I think either the Antichrist comes from a... And this is my personal opinion. I could be completely wrong on this, but this is the way that I have been studying it. I think the Antichrist will most likely come from the line of David. Doesn't have to. But if the goal of the Antichrist is to be the Messiah, then he needs to fulfill that prophecy and come from the line of David. That's my mindset. Once again, theologians could probably chew me up and spit me out on that. But it would make sense that he would be Jewish. It would make sense he would come from the line of David. All these things to fulfill Bible prophecy, and then he can say, I am the Christ. He sits in the third temple. He is the abomination of desolation, and so on and so forth. Or, we're all about to kill each other because of wars and rumors of wars and famines and great plagues, as Jesus said in Matthew 24 and also in Luke. Then, all of a sudden, out of the sky, or walking out of a portal that we've opened up, which I think needs to be talked about more than out of the sky. I think it's also a realm of possibility that the Antichrist could just materialize himself through whatever form or means, and then he will woo the nations over. Because if we're all about to kill each other, and then all of a sudden there's this talk of aliens, and now the Pope wants to baptize aliens, and we have the Lucifer telescope.
Let's not gloss over that, Doug. Hold on for a second. Let's not gloss over that. We have a telescope in Arizona where my home is, and it's Mount Graham outside, well, roughly outside Tucson, east in the mountains. And the name of the telescope, it's run by the Catholic Church, and it's a Lucifer telescope. I kid you not. And the Pope has come out, and exactly what Doug just said, said, yeah, if I see aliens, I'll baptize them.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's more that route than they're just going to randomly show up in spaceships and then, you know, and say, we're your alien overlords. And by the way, this is Jesus. You know, he's one of us. I don't think that's how it's going to be. I think... And you know, my wife and I have discussed this quite a bit. My wife is, she gets very, very in-depth with our research on this. And me and her are kind of, and others that think are awake, are kind of in league with, I think that there's more to do with the portals that are here on the planet that have always been here, you know, that even Jesus dealt with these types of things. You know, Jesus even said the gates of hell will not prevail. I think that there is the ability to summon portals. Witches do it all the time in witchcraft. You know, that is something that they talk about all the time, and entities that come in and out of these portals.
Do you think that's why Jesus and the Bible itself tells us not to go into these areas?
Well, I do, and the Bible tells you, you know, do not do necromancy. Do not practice witchcraft. Like, if you want to go to hell, practice witchcraft. It says it right there in Revelation. You're going to be tossed in a burning lake of fire. I think that is more in line with what we're dealing with than with, you know, freaking little green men and hybrids coming from, you know, the grays or the insectolins or the tall whites or the lizard people. And once again, I'm not, you know, thumbing anybody in the eye. This is just Doug's perspective. I go the biblical route. It makes more sense because aliens are not going to come here to fulfill prophecy. So if that's not the way it's going to happen, then why do I care? I say let's follow what prophecy says. And when prophecy starts to be fulfilled, now you should start to pay attention. I could care less. Dave, I could care less if we found life on Mars. Because no one is going to Mars. Elon Musk is not going to Mars. He laughs himself whenever he talks about it. We will never be able to maintain an atmosphere on Mars until our technology increases to the extent that we will probably have the Fourth World War by then. Right now, we're only really, really good at killing each other. We're not even good enough to successfully put rockets in the sky and travel to the moon and back yet.
I think that's because we're using outdated technology for the public purview. I think there's much more exotic stuff behind the scenes, and I'll just give you a historical precedent for that belief. Nikola Tesla, from 1899 in Colorado Springs, sent free energy electricity to Capitol Hill area in Denver, 70 miles away, he lit up the neighborhood without the use of wires. The technology was 80 to 100 years ahead of his time.
That's right. Energy transference through the ground. Killed that man over that. And it's not only that. That type of technology, it never died out. It never went away. Somebody has that technology because if you go back into the historical accounts of what happened at his apartment, somebody hit his apartment, and they ransacked that place, and everything that was in a locked container was broken open and taken. Somebody walked away with information that was world-changing. Now, most likely, they put it back in another container, and they put it inside a nice warehouse, and it'll be broken open in a later date. Until then.
1943, Doug, is when the FBI came and seized everything. And here we are, almost 80 years later, and he was so far ahead of his time, they still keep that material classified.
Okay, I'll tell you this one then. Bob Lazar. If there was ever someone that I do not question their motive and I do not question their story, it's Bob Lazar. I believe firmly that whatever it is that Bob Lazar and their teams have been working on is what was a recovery of whatever it was that the Nazis were working on, which is why Majestic 12 was formed, to talk about the threat of the Nazis, of what they had. This is based off of my speculation from reading government white papers and timesheets. I'm that anal retarded about this. I'm reading timesheets, timestamps, secretarial notes. You know, it's, to me, whatever it was the Nazis were working on, the Russians were able to gain a part of it. We had a part of it. No one knew the other side and how advanced they were. And then all of a sudden, the psychic warfare came, and the CIA and DIA went in 20 different directions. But the main focus was rocketry, and it was the air-to-air superiority, especially with Wernher von Braun and working with the intercontinental nuclear missile, which was his baby. I think somewhere in between there is extraterrestrial technology. I think somewhere in between there, some of that technology was given, leaked out, bought by the industrial complexes, which are part of the reasons why we have the technology that we have, like what we're using right now, touch screens and all this other crap. Because, just look at what happened during the Industrial Revolution.
Well, Doug, 200... we're not going to have time to go down that.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. You know what? That speaks to a part two. But also, too, I would say, in proof of what we're talking about, what we had develop after 1947 was asymmetrical technological development. And that's not the way history has worked in the past. Technology has come in, culture catches up, technology goes forward, culture catches up. And we didn't do that here. We had huge advances in technology in some areas. In some areas, we stayed primitive, which says that they withheld a lot of the technology. I'll give you one example before we close. The internet was fully developed in 1966, and it won't be made available to the public for 30 years. And I could give you tons of examples like this. And a lot of it, I think, is from the 1947 retrieval of artifacts, reverse engineered technology that we took advantage of. Doug, tell people how to listen to your show.
All right, so the American Vindictus Show, you can get that at AmericanVindictusShow.com. And on there, you can see on the first page, scroll down, you'll see all the different podcast venues that I'm on. I'm also on Rumble, HeroesNation.tv, also, obviously, the Common Sense Show, .com and .tv. Make sure you're subscribing to that. I'm on YouTube, but YouTube thinks I'm a bad boy. For the moment. And I am still banned from posting anything for 2 weeks. So if you haven't heard anything from me, that's because Doug got put back in the corner. They put baby back in the corner. Also on Patreon, if you ever wanted to help support the show, you can go to Patreon. And I post some things on there that I won't post anywhere else. And also every month, I have my own private meeting with everybody that's on Patreon. We talk about a bunch of random stuff.
You're busy, man. You're a busy man.
Hey, caves too, man.
I'm
in and out of caves all the time.
Yeah, I got to get this in. I know you do the caves. That's another topic for another interview. But, ladies and gentlemen, we went off the beaten path today. And give us some feedback about what you think. If you'd like to hear occasional shows like this, we're certainly not going to deviate from our mission on geopolitics. But give us some feedback about what you thought. And I think this begs a part two. Whether or not we turn this into a semi-regular occurrence, well, we'll see about the feedback we get. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on the Doug and Dave Intel Report airing on the Common Sense Show. And we do appreciate you. Go out and have a great day. Remember, we're up against superficial enemies who are dynamic and demonic. You got to pray. Pray and then pray again. We'll see you back here next time. God bless everybody.